Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfoe. Alex Reamer, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rob Bradford on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Mic check. This is Carly Taft. Here's my thoughts on the king of EEI 101. Here's a little ditty about Rob and Wiggy. One-on-one pickups gonna get real jiggy. Wiggy's pretty short, can't even run the court. Rob's gonna run fast and run up the score. Jay's living in the past from that one Brady pass. He thinks he can last, but Rob can run 26.2 miles fast. Wick's gonna get real gas from all that fast food trash. I'm sorry to say, Jermaine, it ain't your day. Pull your pride away. Bradfoe got the skill in hot, gonna dunk all night. Be the one-on-one king of EEI. Of EEI. Be the one-on-one king of EEI. Of EEI, yeah.
Thanks to Carly Taft. There you go. Little Carly Taft to play us in this morning. Missed her. Good friend. Good friend of the show, friend of the station.
Yeah, I heard she. I heard she's going to be a lead host from 6 to 10 in the morning.
I hear they need the additional third voice, Carly Taft.
We're working on t-shirts. We're going to add her name to the new t-shirts.
So Wiggy and Callahan shirts are done. They're already in the trash.
Not in the trash.
It burns like your Colin Kaepernick Nike apparel.
No, that's not in the trash. Okay. Those things are like going
collector's items.
Yes, those are all collector's items. Okay, those are, you know, like Hall of Fame type things.
Already, yes.
Big money.
I agree. Well, Mark James yesterday said he was inducting Jerry into the Radio Hall of Fame, which I'm sure, knowing Jerry, I'm sure it's on the
cares about
deeply.
A lot of Hall of Fame inductions going on.
Lots of Hall of Fame
inductions, I inducted Joe Kelly into the Bradfoe Show Hall of Fame.
I saw that. How was that reunion yesterday, by the way?
I mean, we can attest, it was the best interview of the week.
Wow.
Did we have any other interviews on the station?
I don't believe so.
It was the best interview.
That was the only one.
Oh, we had Tony La Russa.
He swore.
Well, Tony La Russa told Dale and Keefe that the Red Sox would not trade for a rental reliever.
Yeah,
how did your Joe Kelly interview top that?
Easy. He swore.
Okay, there you go. That's pretty easy.
And he also talked about losing out on about $400,000 because he got poop-faced during the draft.
Poop-faced?
Okay. Yeah.
PG version.
There you go.
So we are together again. Reamer, Bradfoe, it's been a while, gentlemen. Good morning. Happy Sunday to you.
A lot of moving parts.
Always.
Wiggy, I miss your scent.
Yeah. you scent so far from, though. I'm sitting closer to
Wiggy.
What
do you want me to do?
Would you like to switch seats, actually?
What are you talking about?
This is scent. You could sit a little closer to him.
It's amazing. You know, this show had so much momentum. And then,
what do you mean had?
And then
Still does.
After the first 5 minutes, yes, we have it back immediately.
It's amazing.
You took a vacation, and then I went on. I had to go do work overseas.
I didn't vacation. I was working.
You took advantage of me going overseas to say, you pretend like I wasn't going to notice that you weren't there, Wiggy. And then Alex is all by himself.
Last week, I was the only one here. I mean, come on. All this talk about I'm not dedicated to the Sunday show. I'm the only one who shows up for work around
here. You know, you admitted, Alex, that you get the spurs put in you a little bit.
Yeah. Yes. Well, now I am. I mean, now I think this is the only time you can hear me on these WEEI airwaves. So now this is what I'm all about, the Sunday show.
Now,
are you kidding me?
You know, with all the moving parts with the, you know, the whole Callahan departure and, you know, Reamer's now trying to figure out where he goes from here.
I've spent the weekend camped outside of Greg Hill's house.
Is that weird or anything?
That he set up a tent in his backyard? I mean, is that coming on a little strong?
It's really weird that Hillman tattoo is a little odd.
At the forehead, you think it's a little too overt? I know Glenn said yesterday, Friday, that I was under his desk. He wasn't there, so we'll go back on Monday.
I don't think there's much politics over there at the Hillman show.
But I can be political and
what
get my way on.
What are you talking about?
You know?
They have the governor
on. Yeah, and it's Breakfast with Baker.
That is true.
Yes, Breakfast with the Bakes.
You a Bakes fan?
I voted for Charlie Baker is, to my knowledge, the only Republican I voted for.
Well,
so, and I'm not just lying to get a spot on the Breakfast with Baker spot. I'm telling you, I did vote for Charlie Baker last time around, not this time around. So we will start with the Jerry news as several shows have done here. And like those shows, we will not be taking your calls on. We'll get into some other things as well. Very prescient, Wiggy. You told me before the show, Ken, we think, is the one who ultimately put the screws to Jerry here.
Well,
in
yeah,
our Real KNC podcast.
Yeah, I heard that Real KNC podcast with you and Ken, and you guys were talking about splitting up his, you know, his belongings.
His belongings, yeah.
If he were to move on, or if he were to call it quits, or whatever it was, and then, you know, unfortunately, that's kind of what happened, which I think it's an... And I've said this before, I've only been with Jerry for, you know, a few months, so I've just gotten to know him all, you know, from this short period of time.
You were with him Friday night at the Encore event?
Yes, him and I were Friday night. We were together at the boxing event, Murphy's boxing event. That's from the Dropkick Murphys. And I had this perception of Jerry before I met him, you know, because all I can base my judgment on somebody is kind of what I hear on the radio. And I came in with a perception, but I didn't let that perception... not allow me to kind of figure out what this guy was all about. And I tell you what, man, he's one of the best dudes that I've been around in this business. As far as the one thing I love is he keeps it real. He keeps it 100. There's no BS with him. There's no, you know, faking. And granted, we might see things differently, but that's a good thing, you know. And he's kind of taught me some things, and hopefully I've taught him some things.
He loves the debate.
Yeah.
He loves the debate.
And I got no problem with that. And hopefully, you know, I was able to kind of maybe, you know, show him a different world from the way I see it, just like he was able to show me a different world. So,
Same. And Jerry welcomes differences of opinion. And that's really what I think the message should be today. You know, I mean, one thing I do want to say, I mean, Jerry, you know, I think people need to, Jerry Callahan and Kirk Minahan hosted a number one morning show here. And they gave me a weird 20-something with a screechy voice, a seat at the table. I was 23 when I made my first appearance on that show. And it was not, and Rob knows, it was not always easy. The listener blowback was immense. 95% of the text, I mean, Wiggy, you've done numerous shows with me. Reamer sucks. Get him off the air. He's terrible. I'm never listening again. And you know what they would do to that text line? They would shut it and not look at it again. Mm-hmm. That's what they would do, because they wanted me on the show. They liked me on the show. They supported me after the Brady thing on the air. Almost every day, the suspension is too long. We want Reamer back. We want him back. And I'm not sure if I would have been back if they were not in my corner. My point is, that's what they mean to me. They were my biggest advocates here at the station, both Jerry and Kirk, for 2.5 years. And they did it because they knew it was good radio, because they liked the difference of opinion. They liked the sparring. And that's what Jerry Callahan was all about. He was all about people coming in here and giving a difference of opinion. And, you know, I think that's the most important thing. And, you know, a lot of people the last couple of days have tweeted at me and said, how can you speak well of Jerry Callahan? He's a racist. He's a sexist. I'm sure you get similar stuff, too. He's misogynist.
I mean, when people come at me with that, like, I'm like, the problem is you're just out of your mind, you know? Because like I said all the time, and I used to say with him on air, is like, I was his George Jefferson. He was my Archie Bunker in 2019. And it was about his
difference. I was his Carson Kressley.
It was about his difference of opinions. And it wasn't. Yes. And he didn't have a racist bone.
I was his bagel guy.
Yeah, he didn't have a racist bone in his body. And where I really got to know Jerry, it wasn't so much on air as when we had the opportunity.
We locked you in the bathroom in the Retrex jet.
Yes, when you locked me on a private jet.
I said, you two are getting along.
Right.
I feel
Bradford
like
was there.
That took it to the next level. Yes. Sometimes it's tough love. And you need a private jet, and you need a bathroom to lock
your
guys.
If you're gonna if you're ever gonna get locked in a bathroom, you want to hash out your differences. Make sure it's on a Retrex private jet. So that's when I really got to know him, and I kind of got to know him as a person. You know, forget about what you heard on the radio, but the thing that I learned about him off the air is that, you know, he believes in things a certain way. He sees the world differently, right?
But who cares?
Right. I don't care, but as you communicate and you talk to people, you start to see, okay, here's why I see the world the way that I see it. And then what you try to do is you try to get an understanding. But there, as far as him being a racist, I mean, I never felt that way.
No, of course.
One bit around him. I was able to meet his wife Friday. His son is a great kid. So we were talking a lot about football because his kid plays football. And that was the one thing that I got to really know about Jerry. And that's what you hear on the radio is him just, you know,
It's him speaking his opinions.
That's
and
it.
I'm saying people tweet at me, you know, how can you, you know, someone tweeted at Buck because Buck sent his well wishes and, you know, said Jerry Callahan is a malignant force on society. Are you out of your mind? Are you out? Because he has a difference of opinion of you. I mean, you can like you can. I love Jerry Callahan in a radio sense, of course. Mm-hmm. I know he probably wants me to in another sense. No,
no
Jerry,
you love him.
Sorry, yep. In a radio sense,
he's
though,
in great shape.
He's in very good shape, and like I love the guy. He's been great to me. I love going back and forth with him. He's. I mean, all that stuff. Get out of here with that. And you know, so it just makes me sick that certain people would even tweet that kind of stuff. But I mean, I think that's the big message. You know, what would Jerry? He wants debate. He wants that, and that's the thing too. That makes it so tough is he was at the top of his game still.
Yeah.
Still at top. You come in, he's so prepared.
It's so you say the biggest takeaway. And I've heard a lot of this. It's all right to disagree. It's all right to disagree. And this is the message that we should get from Jerry Callahan. And you're absolutely
not just all right to disagree, no, Rob. Embrace the
right. Exactly. And you're right. I mean, that's one of the things that we should take away from Jerry Callahan. But as I said, I'm sure everybody heard at 3:05 yesterday afternoon on a beautiful Saturday.
Yep.
I was saying that my takeaway is what we should learn from Jerry Callahan, what we will continue to learn, whatever Jerry does, is, and I've said this to you a million times, Alex, we have to prioritize intelligence, right? And this is a guy who worked for Sports Illustrated, who was an established writer, but also was able to do a radio show for 20 years. And you are only able to do that if you are intelligent to enough to A, figure out what people want to listen to, and B, when you have your opinion and you are willing to argue, to be able to dig in on that argument and defend yourself and not back off of it and do it over and over and over and over. I mean, this past week was a perfect example of this. This is the deadest week of the year, right? But Jerry, you knew that Jerry was going to be able to come in and dig in on an argument, steer the show, figure out what people want to listen to, get it. I mean, and this is all about intelligence. And this is one of the things that drives me nuts about this industry, that we don't prioritize things like that. We don't. Take the lesson that we learned and continue to learn from Jerry Callahan, why he was able to do this for 20 years, because this guy is a
smart
guy.
He stayed current. He stayed fresh. Right. And you even the show he did Friday, the last show, I was on Jerry Callahan's last show and Kirk's last show. So I'm the Grim Reaper, I guess, of the morning team.
Yeah, you are. That's kind of like
so it's weird. It's going to be Wiggy's last show.
Yeah, it's very bad.
Cross your fingers. No. But so I thought we had a great show Friday. We talked about Megan Rapinoe. We talked about that soccer player, Janelle Hinkle, who was anti-gay marriage, who didn't make the World Cup team. We had a great show. Took calls for 2 hours. Yelled at each other. Screamed at each other. Laughed. I'm sure the texts are going crazy. Get back to sports. Get Reamer off. And no, we stuck with it. It was a great show. I even said afterwards to Jerry, I'm like, I got more Twitter feedback from this show than I have in months. I mean, this was really a great show.
But think about when you got in plenty of people disagreed with Jerry. Think about when he got into the debate and the argument he comes in with that line of questioning or that line of topic the other day. Have you ever heard Jerry where he got into an argument or a debate and you're thinking, how could he ever think this way? Yet he is able to dig in on it and argue it intelligently and not for 1 second back off of how he stands on it. And that is a rare, I'm sorry, that is a rarity. And that is what makes the great ones great, I think, in this business.
Well, the thing about it that it's difficult, you know, when you start to see like guys like Jerry, you know, and I learned from guys I've been around. I've been around Felger before. I've been around Jerry. And what I've always tried to do is I try to, you know, take a little bit of everything that I can possibly take knowledge wise from them and start to learn. But the thing that is irritating more than anything is the fact that you have a guy, like you said, who's still on top of his game. You know, he was evolving like we all do. We got to evolve in any business in life, and as things change.
He never missed a story. We were in here Friday. Did you see this? When are we going to do it? I mean, he just never.
So he was able to evolve. But the biggest, my big, like one of the biggest takeaways is that nowadays we live in a society where people are such wussies and every little thing bothers them to a point where they can actually go and complain enough and maybe have somebody removed or have somebody fired or create this mob that ultimately the mob wins in a certain way. Where is it like, okay, if you don't agree with the guy and you want, if you don't agree with him, then sit down with him and hash out your disputes. Just like when we were, when I heard you guys talking about Megan Rapinoe. If she doesn't agree with the president, take your ass to the White House, sit down across from him, and have a discussion with this dude. Whether or not he listens, it doesn't matter. But at least you're able to get your point across on how you feel.
But just in a greater sense, too, like, I'm offended cannot be a synonym for I disagree. And I feel like that's where we are as a society. And Wiggy, you bring it up sometimes that maybe I go overboard, like the Kurt Schilling stuff. And maybe what's happened here with Kirk and what's happened with Jerry now, too, caused me to reevaluate maybe my reaction to some of these things. Because I've seen a guy who's at the top of his game, as we mentioned, always prepared, and there's no secret about the ratings here, but Mutt and Callahan's still the highest rated show on the station.
Right.
Not by much, but it was. This was not a ratings thing. This was not a job performance thing. No. Not even close to that. These were other forces, exterior forces, that led to this move. And it's a damn shame, because somebody goes who's still at the top of his game, and there's collateral damage, too. There's producers whose jobs are affected. My life, for example, affected at the station, I believe. Mike Mutnansky goes back tonight, so we're happy to have Mutt here. So there's collateral damage with all this stuff. But yeah, that's I think the big message, that I disagree, I'm offended cannot be a synonym for I disagree, and you should welcome that debate. Like, Jerry wasn't a big fan of Megan Rapinoe. Who gives a crap, really?
But
who cares?
But here's the thing, is that we were counting the seconds, the minutes, until Jerry was back on the air in that argument, weren't we?
Right.
I mean, and because it's, you wanted to get upset at him. You wanted to have him try to dig in. Because, you know, I think that a lot of people, we talked about this the other day. I think it's easy for her to do what she did, because this is what everybody wants.
Right. This doesn't take much.
It's not what the stance that Jerry was taking was not what everybody wants. Right.
It was brave. From the standpoint of against the grain.
Finally. Yes. I said, much like I said, find the one person on that team that wanted to go to the White House. Those are the brave ones. Like Jerry Callahan was brave. And I guess in the sense.
In
the radio sense. Yes.
He's
a hero.
Right. Sure. Well, he has stolen valor. But right. In a radio sense, to have opinions that, again, the tweeters don't like, the texters don't like, the Twitter mob doesn't like. And we get and the more we get into this crazy world of 2019, the fewer and fewer people
it's
there are
the
out there.
It's called the sensitive world, Ralph Tresvant world that we live in, Mr. Sensitivity. Now, every day if you say one thing, now you got to be careful, because you might offend somebody so much that now the person you offend is now picking up the phone, they're calling this one, they're calling that one. It's like the old adage thing when you were a kid going in school. Rather than, you know what, stand up and not really defend yourself, but, you know, give your opinion on why you don't agree with it. It's the kid running to the principal's office to tell the principal.
Yeah, and I think the guys that, you know, we can learn from, I mean, what we should learn from Kirk, what we should learn from Jerry is all the things that we're talking about. Like, we have to deal with these parameters which you're talking about. This is just our lot in life,
this is the life we live.
Right, this is it. But that doesn't mean that we should make things boring, that we shouldn't have opinions, that we shouldn't do exactly what Jerry did this past week and get uncomfortable with conversations.
Right.
We should absolutely, this is what, to me, one of the biggest takeaways, we should absolutely reflect as we are right now on how Jerry approached things and learn from it and continue to do that. But like I said, unfortunately, we have to work with these new set of parameters, and everything changes, and sometimes it happens.
So you have to, at times, you have to take somebody's feelings into consideration, because you know that this person might feel a certain way and they might be a little bit more sensitive. So now you have to, like you said, Bradford, the world that we live in, you have to evolve and you have to adjust. And, you know, it's just the way it is, but you shouldn't have to be in a position where you're scared to say what's on your mind, because what we do here is, granted, we're not building rockets, we're not saving lives, we're not doing that kind of, you know, crazy stuff, but we do have a platform and people want to hear, and there are people that want to hear from us.
We just talk.
Yeah, and use our platform out there.
And I think that, you know, Alex, I think no one has learned from those guys from that show more than you, right?
My two dysfunctional radio dads.
About a curse podcast, which I'm sure it was
a little different.
It wasn't
the stuff I wound up doing here.
But you know what? Honestly, Alex, it probably wasn't all that different from how talk radio used to be, and in some worlds continues to be.
Right.
And we know, I think we all agree that old way of doing it isn't the way to do it. Like, we don't, I listened this week, and, you know, whatever station it was, it drives me nuts when you, oh, here's seven topics. This is going to roll out one right after. No. One of the things we learned from Jerry, and really go back with Kirk as well, is that it's a conversation.
Right.
And I'll even say with Glenn on the old Big Show, having done that show, I remember just saying, okay, you know what? We're going to have this topic, and we're going to ride it. Because it's a great, great conversation. And then we had other shows come in, and I don't know if it was advisors or whatever. We have to segment these shows, and you have to do, you know.
It was like the Tim Benz had the 7-point plot for each
and
hour.
And I liked him. And I was, what are you doing? I mean, like, but this is what we learned from going back to Glenn, the old Big Show, and with Jerry and Kirk, and that. It is a conversation. Much like with podcasts. Like, there's no fighting it. Podcasts are going to become more and more of an impact here because people can go and listen to them whenever they want. But podcasts, one of the reasons podcasts works is because it is just three guys like our show is right now sitting around talking about what we probably would talk about.
A great
about.
Example of what you said is so Friday, so we do the 8 o'clock hour on the U.S. soccer Janelle Hinkle story. And then before the 9 o'clock hour, I'm teasing that we make it back into J.D. Martinez's comments about the Red Sox travel, whatever. And Jerry goes to me during the break and goes, why do you want to get back into the Red Sox? We have full lines on this. This is a great conversation. Right. Why'd you tease that? And I'm like, you know what, Jerry? I don't know. You're right. I mean, this is a great conversation. We'd stick with it. So you're right, Rob. Those were the instincts. And also, Wiggy, you look at the people who Jerry championed here. Me, you, before that.
Not
Trenny.
Me.
Well, it depends.
It's just like anything. It was a roller coaster.
Roller coaster, of course. John Tomasi, you know, Tangway when he was here. Right, the minors, right. And people who, and Kirk too, people who had differences of opinion. Because my first show I ever did with those guys, I knew it worked because 20 minutes in, I'm screaming at Jerry about Trump, about Tom Brady. This was at the height of that story. And there are people here, there are people who work in radio who if this 23-year-old kid comes in with the weird voice and starts screaming and disagreeing with the hosts, they would never be welcome back on the show again. They'd say, we're not doing that again. The listeners didn't like him. He disagreed with us. Oh, see you later. Let's just do the path of least resistance. They didn't do that.
Right.
And I'm forever grateful. And that was undoubtedly the right thing to do. And it was, and I can't express my gratitude enough. And it just shows what they were all about.
Right. And the thing that Jerry had a good thing is, you know, he knew well. And it's, you welcome the friction, right? You welcome that because that makes a good show. It's like, and like you said,
he wanted you to disagree with him and argue with
him. It's a conversation, right? And the way I've always approached this, and I think this is the thing about Jerry, and like I said, we've had dinner together, we had lunch together. You actually bought me lunch after the we did the Dana Farber appearance, and we went back, and Jerry was great at you know, making those kids feel
nobody
good.
Was a greater champion for the Jimmy Fund.
And the thing that you know, that Jerry's thought process or his approach to, you know, this was no different than if you were sitting out having a beer with a couple guys. The conversation should not change in any way whatsoever. And that's kind of the way I've kind of learned that I've took that approach, and I've always kind of tried to add that into it is what we do here, is this conversation should be no different than if I'm seeing a guy at a bar and he asked me the same question. That's what it should be.
And by the way, and you guys know this, is that when Jerry Callahan's at Twin Peaks saying, oh, this beer is so
ice cold beer.
Right. It's the same exact conversations and the same exact guys. Right. If you like just drop the radio studio right at that table, as we tried to once in a while with Twin Peaks, but right at that table, it was the same thing. Right. I mean, it was the same guy. I've said this about going to Bob Ryan. Bob Ryan was always a must read, always a great columnist, and I had never met him. And the first time I met him, he sat down at, it was a dinner, and he starts pounding the table about something. I'm like, it was the same exact guy that you saw in Sports Reporters, that you saw in, or read in his columns. And for Jerry, I'm not comparing the two totally different personalities, but the same sort of genuine nature.
And that's what makes, that's in this business, and Rima, you've been around, and Bradford, you've been around, and I've been around, and there are a lot of guys in this business. They're one way on air, and they're another way off air. And to me, those are the frauds. And the thing about Jerry Callahan, and whether you liked him, disliked him, didn't agree with him, agreed with him, the way he was on air was the same way he was off air. And when you could keep it 100 and you could keep it real like that, that's when you know that to the core you're a good person.
And all you need to know about, and talk about that, same on the air, off the air. So Friday, he calls me around 11:30. I pick it up, and he goes, so
They let me. They're not renewing the contract. I wanted you to know so the Globe doesn't get it first. So Jerry Callahan just, you know, was told here that they're not renewing his contract. And his first thought is to call me, the media writer at the website, to make sure I know the story so the Globe doesn't get it first. That, I think, encapsulates
you know,
and Jerry
Callahan
right
I forgot
right
this,
there.
But the, in terms of, and I know that a lot of people are going to be tuning in tomorrow, and they should, and not only because I know that whoever was going to be on was going to talk about it, but I don't know if you guys have heard what they're going to do.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah,
it's going to happen tomorrow
which
morning.
Is great, which is it's going to be Mutt, Ken, and Curtis.
That's
which
good.
Is exactly
it
how it should be.
I agree.
So from 6 to 10 tomorrow, you're going to want to tune in.
No, you're going to want to tune in. And no, we loved, absolutely loved working with Jerry and hope to do it again someday
yeah.
as well.
I mean, look, I mean, Ordway's back, Dale's back, so hopefully they'll bring that third old white guy back. You know, yeah. that's the hope. So
Mike Adams is coming back.
Okay.
Well, you know, I don't know if you need to know about that. So
I don't know. I'm just going down the list.
Eddie Anthem, and they'll bring them all back.
Oh, yeah. My dad actually asked me the other day. He's like, where's Eddie Anthem? And I'm like, I don't know.
Go to a buffet line in Florida. You could probably find
you know,
him
like
somewhere.
You said, the podcast is
all the way. All the kids are
who
doing
knows?
It.
Maybe we might get the Callahan podcast.
I would.
We were going to launch that around here.
When we do the oral history of Jerry Callahan or WEI,
I wonder if you still
the Jerry Callahan podcast chapter would be epic.
They had it. It was called Tunnel Vision, and it originally was going to be me and Jerry doing the podcast. We were going to go back and forth about politics. Get it, Wiggy, because he likes Trump. I don't like Trump. So yes, I don't know if you know that.
But
so that's
he wanted.
What the
but
his going to be
Jerry's
Tunnel
visions
Vision.
Are always great because he was like, "What I want. What I want is it's like." Is what was the around the horn? No.
He wanted everyone's faces.
Yeah. So what is the Will Bond Kornheiser?
That's part of the
interruption.
Part of the interruption. PTI. I want it like that. All the faces in the background.
Everyone's faces.
And every time we're gonna change it. And you know,
billboards.
But there has been like, did we actually end up doing? Actually having a logo. I think we had a logo for Tunnel Vision.
We may have. It's maybe in the podcast graveyard on iTunes.
But Kirk and Jerry did the... They did a podcast for a little bit, right?
Well, Breaking Balls was the Dennis
right.
and Callahan podcast.
That's right. That's right. That's
and then,
right.
Yes, and then Jerry never picked up his own.
But we always said this when we had those awful podcast meetings. We always said this is that you know the guy that absolutely could pull this off, absolutely could do a great podcast is Jerry Callahan.
Right.
And I'm not saying that. Listen, Jerry's going to be defaulting to like free podcasts.
I don't know.
His
new place in Boston. I told him. I don't know if you have the attic space.
I'm building a studio.
In this new place he has in Boston. He should have stayed in the suburbs for that.
Well, all I know is, like I said, we Friday night we met at Encore Boston, and he said he's not done. So who knows?
No.
Why should he be?
I don't.
He is not done.
Yeah, he said he's you know still. I'm like, listen, anytime you need me, bro, I'm there. I'm there and pick up the phone and let's do it because I loved the going back and forth with Jerry. He made it fun. You know what I mean? And you know, hopefully you were able.
I loved it.
To like I said, hopefully you were able to show him something just like he was able to show
it was,
me something.
It was great. I mean, even to go back to our show Friday was just such a great, fun show. You know, it was just, that's such a good show. And that's the thing too, Wiggy. Of course, he's not done. He'll be back. He'll be back big because he's still, as we said, he's still the best at what he does. He still is. This is not a performance related thing at all. And that needs to be said.
I mean, I think everybody that, you know, can add 1+1 knows that this is not about.
Yeah. And that's as someone in this industry, that's the most troublesome thing. You can be a legend. Build the station for 20
Doesn't
years,
matter,
have incredible
man.
Success for two decades.
Doesn't matter.
And forces outside of your control can lead to your contract not getting renewed. I mean, that is just, it's hard to take. And it's been, there's no doubt, it's been a tough 48 hours for, I think, all of us. It's been a tough 48 hours for me. Again, just going back to Jerry and Kirk, those are the guys who brought me into the station and kind of served as my shields to an extent. And I'm just, I just couldn't be more grateful for, not to get sappy or anything. I just couldn't.
Too late.
Couldn't be more grateful. It's just.
You sound like Rich Keefe.
It's tough.
I don't think there's any doubt. All the reasons that we talked about right. why this happened and moving forward and you know, sometimes just change happens and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
And it's been a blast.
Exactly.
I thought I was going to maybe cry, actually. Friday, I mean, I'm like, am I going to hand this off to Robin?
I mean, the guy didn't die. He still looks good.
Right. Well, that's the thing. He looks great.
I was going to say, but I will say this, that Friday, you're walking around, to me, you know, you have different reactions. Some people have left here. It was like, oh, okay, whatever.
Right.
That was a pit in the stomach. You know, it was a pit in the stomach because you knew that in simplistic form, Jerry was part of the solution and not part of the problem, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. That's a great thing.
Yeah. Thank you, Rich.
Yep. So that's what we should be. Disagree, have fun doing it, and don't be afraid of the negative text, the negative tweets. That'd be my stick with your gut. Do what's good
just,
radio.
And
to the 508.
To the 508, 617, please. So we'll revisit Jerry later in the show. I think media stars. I think he's deserving of not just his own media star this week, Rob, but having the entire media star segment dedicated to him as well. We'll revisit some of our conversation points later on. So we'll do that. Reamer, Wiggy, Bradfo. We have lots of stories to get into as well today. The Landon Roberts thing. I heard Mark and Andy Hart talk about that yesterday. Have some cuts from the police video that was released recently. So we'll definitely, in Jerry's tradition, that's a story that Jerry would have really dug into. The Landon Roberts traffic stop and all that. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that. Also, some Red Sox news. Chris Sale, Rob, this is not good.
No, I heard that. I heard that they aren't going to go anywhere without Chris Sale.
I read that on WAI.com as well.
Nobody wakes up and writes it at 6:30 in the morning from my bed.
You're a true warrior. We'll do all that. But first, here's what's trending now.
By the way, I went during the break. I went upstairs by Hillman's office.
Yes.
Reamer, underneath the desk.
Oh, yeah.
So go ahead.
That doesn't surprise me.
Go ahead.
Listen to Dale and Keefe on your smart speaker. Just say,
hey, Alexa, play 93.7 WEEI.
Hey, Google, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
And the Red Sox fell to the Dodgers 11-2 last night. Chris Sale got hit around again. 5 earned runs for the third straight start. Overall, the season, Sale is 3-9. With a 4.27 ERA, the Red Sox are 6-13 in his starts. The Yankees did lose to the Jays, so the Red Sox remain 9 games back in the division. They are 1.5 games out of a playoff spot.
Why are you still giving Yankee standings?
Because I'm updating the people, Rob. Here's what's trending now.
What's the wild card standings?
Yeah, they're 1.5 games out of a playoff spot.
Right, so there you go.
Don't even say, when you say the division, go, listen, the division is long gone. It's like a Kenyan in the marathon and you're an American. You're not catching it.
Red Sox made a trade yesterday, too. They acquired Andrew Cashner for 2 prospects. Andrew Cashner, Rob, we'll talk about him later.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to have some good Andrew Cashner talk.
Yes, 9-3, 3.83 ERA team option for next season.
You sound so morose.
Well, I'm a news anchor here. The Red Sox, Dodgers tonight. David Price, Hyunjin Ryu.
Yeah, let's go.
First pitch 7:05, rather. Pre-game 6:05.
This is the worst trending now.
Shaw Star Market, WEI, Red Sox
Radio
Network.
This is Alex Cora walking to the bullpen.
Yes.
I'm hitting my right arm. Wiggy. Hand the trending now over a Wiggy.
Come on.
Right now.
Get some energy.
Weather, 80 and sunny.
Oh. We need like a shock collar or something.
We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now more of Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
So to honor Jerry Callahan, we are going to hold off on the Chris Sale and Red Sox discussion.
Oh, I apologize for it.
We could not do a segment talking about Jerry Callahan and then pivot to Red Sox talk. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's offensive.
We just couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. So we'll do that
later. He'd be rolling over in his grave right now.
He would, yes. Somewhere up on the shores of Maine, he'd be rolling over. Well, that's the thing, too. So I was talking to Jerry Friday briefly, and I go, he's like, you know, he goes, yeah, I need a job. I mean, not now. It's July, but, you know.
Well, you know what?
And does he really need a job?
Well,
does he?
He doesn't need a job.
No, but he deserves a job. Does he need one?
He will have a job.
Yes.
Jerry and I were talking at Encore in Boston when we were talking, and we actually came up with a great idea that him and I would be the ebony and ivory of greeters at Encore Boston.
Oh, look at you.
Jim, there you go.
Jim Thorpe all over
like
again.
Yeah, Franco Harris.
Which everybody wants to end their life with, as being a casino greeter.
Yeah, listen, nothing wrong with it. Have you been to Encore in Boston?
I know, I love Encore in Boston. But
welcome Encore.
What I'm saying is that you got a lot of life in you there, Wiggy. Don't just default to being the casino greeter.
It could be a side gig for Wiggy.
What I want you, I'll say it again, I want you two to race in the parking lot of Encore.
Me and Jermaine?
Yes, those you and Jermaine.
I don't know why
those days are what, over?
Yeah, those days, I think those days are long gone.
What,
right?
No more racing?
No more racing?
Well, yeah, as far as I've already beat him.
Are we going gun shooting still? We can still do that.
We could still
this is you, right?
Yeah, the gun. Well, that was with Jerry. So like I said,
Jerry can still go with us.
Yeah, he could still come with us. And we sat down. Jerry and I had a long conversation with the president, Bob DeSalvo of Encore Boston, and said, hey, listen, we'd be the perfect greeters for you. Perfect, you know?
Again,
how many martinis in was Jerry when he proposed this idea to be the casino greeter?
As soon
greeter?
As he walked in, he says.
Yeah, sure.
We've been plotting.
Did you guys watch the boxing as well?
Yeah, we did watch the boxing.
Did Jerry say, I could take him?
Jerry goes, no, this is funny pot. And this is just like Jerry, this is where we had fun. It was this kid from Stoneham fighting Vanetti, I think his last name was, really good fight. He was fighting this other kid from New Jersey. And the guy from New Jersey, I forget his name, Slim something, was a black guy. And the Vanetti kid from Stoneham was a white guy. Jerry looks at him. He goes, yeah, look at the white guy. He's beating him down. And I go, Jerry. I go, you can't knock this black dude down, because it was a great fight. Went 12 rounds, and it was back and forth. But that was just like, you know, Jerry, you know, because I had busted his balls a little bit earlier.
Well, I told you, Wiggy, I mean, this whole time we were adversaries, we really should have been allies. Because with Jerry out, I mean, your on-air future here is kind of similar to mine, I would say. I don't know how many spots we can find Jermaine Wiggins.
I don't know. The unspoken part of this is what's going to happen now in the morning show,
yes,
right?
We already have t-shirts printed out.
We read the press release, right? Mm-hmm. We read the press release about Greg Hill, yep, and Danielle, and then who there seems to be another third person. So right. So Alex, you know,
t-shirts
I think
are
you're
made.
In the mix. I think Wiggy's in the mix.
I've already
sent the t-shirts
mix.
Out.
I mean,
Reamer, underneath the desk.
I am.
Hillman. And Wiggy, the Hillman Show and Wiggy.
You're already booting out. Who's his host? Danielle's the
host.
No,
she's part of it.
Did you read our own press release?
Right.
Let's go.
Right. Danielle is part of the Hillman Show.
Right.
It's the Hillman Show and Wiggy.
She doesn't get her name on the t-shirt, though?
No, she's part of the Hillman Show.
Okay, right.
You not know that?
No, I do. I read. It's
like
good.
Robin is part of Howard Stern. You wouldn't say Howard Stern and Robin.
True.
You
Correct.
Would say the Howard Stern Show. She's part of that show.
Yes, yes. So yes, I'd love to.
She's a local girl, just like I am. Except I'm a local guy.
Eastie, yes, we haven't heard that. Eastie guy.
I've
Jermaine
heard her
Wiggins.
Accent before. Our accents would work out well.
So again, we come right back to where we started. You two competing for radio.
Here we go. It's really life is just a flat circle.
I mean, this
right?
is what this is what this show is built
is it,
on.
Basically. Isn't life just a
it's built on basketball games, races, yeah, and you guys yelling at each other about radio time.
It's one big competition. That's it.
That's all life is. It's one big race.
The next thing I want you to do, the next athletic achievement I want you to do, Wiggy, have you seen that bottle cap challenge?
Yes.
All right, we got to get a bottle.
We could do
there.
One today. We should do one
I,
today.
Because I get my slow-mo.
I got a bottle right
now. Oh, yeah, well, but it's I don't trust
today,
you.
Today, a long snapper, Rob. Actually, long snapper.
I saw that. I saw that on the wildly popular Off-Day podcast Twitter account,
yep,
right?
Yep, run by myself.
Yeah, you're doing a
Wiggy, I think we could both do it. I was a long snapper. Did you know that?
Oh, were you?
Yes, we could both.
I was like third.
We'll do it later today. Let's
I was
long
third,
snap
third string
off.
Long snapper. Wow. But I could do a bottle cap challenge.
Who is that's now? I'm fascinated. Who is the better long snapper between Johnny?
I was
Anderson?
Third string. I, so
I could
I
probably
was,
go. Further.
Yeah, but in fairness, you were third string in the NFL.
I was emergency.
I don't think John Anderson was the third string in for what high school? The
JV,
the winless JV whatever team.
Were you were you heavier in high school than you are, John? To
no,
be on
I was
the
like,
line,
I was like 15 pounds less.
You were the
no,
leanest
no, just,
offensive
well, just
lineman.
Just long
oh,
snapper.
Just a long snapper.
Yeah, no, right. I didn't play like guard.
Could have been a wide receiver. Probably was a wide receiver.
Yeah, what was your other position?
Safety and receiver.
Right. Safety and receiver. Okay, yes. Yeah, so I don't even know if I could snap the football through my legs.
No. You can't even throw a baseball. There's no way you can snap
it. Well, there's only one way to find out.
Let's do it. Toss me the pigskin right
here. Hold on.
You don't think it'll destroy the equipment here?
Yeah, just hand it to him.
So Mark James and Andy Hart did the story for a bit yesterday. I know you guys did it on Friday with Glenn as well. So Landon Roberts, Patriots linebacker Landon Roberts, had an interesting traffic stop March 10th. And when I say traffic stop, I mean he was pulled over as he was pulling into his driveway for going 59 in a 35-mile-per-hour zone. Now, this story has just come to light over the last couple days, and this was a big ordeal in the way in which the officer, one of the officers who pulled Roberts over, referred to him as a big black man when talking to one of his colleagues. This is obviously an interesting story, and as I mentioned, a story that I think Jerry would have totally dove into. So for those who don't know, so Landon Roberts lives in the Houston area, was pulling into his driveway on March 10th, and so the cops sound their sirens. They pull him over, and this is cut one, John. Just so there's a long 15-minute video out there. And right away, Roberts is in his driveway. He steps out because he's, again, at his house, and the officer chides him a bit.
Get back in the car. Get back in the car. Get in the car right now. Shut the door. Put the hands on the steering wheel and roll down the window. Do it now.
So it's noticeable because the police say afterwards that Roberts did not comply. Well, he did comply.
But if you look at the video, you see that, and it goes to him as soon as he comes out, because I think you have to really paint the picture for people. When you hear step back into the vehicle, he steps out of the car with his hands up, which is very smart on his part. Hands up, the officer tells him to step back in the vehicle, which he then proceeds to do as he sits back down with his hands up, and you know, so I think that's the one thing where you said, like you said, he wasn't complying, but he did everything they asked.
And again, why did he get out of his car? Because when you get pulled over on the Pike, for example, you don't step out of your car. But right. He stepped out of his car because he was in his driveway.
Mm-hmm.
He was
at his house. You never know what's happening.
He was at his house. And because he was at his house, his wife was home. She walked out and the officers yelled at her to get back inside.
Go back in the house. Go back in the house. Ma'am, if you don't go back in the house, you're going to be arrested. Go back in the house for your safety. Do it now.
So Fort Bend County Sheriff Troy Nels, the sheriff of this county, when he issued a statement about this in a press conference Friday, he did criticize the officer for the way he interacted with Roberts' wife. He said, quote, "I didn't appreciate the tone." So that's the one thing that he said the officer did wrong here. But the real controversy comes when the officer, so basically, so they pull Roberts over. He's in his driveway for 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
8 minutes. They're telling his wife to get back into the house. They're telling him to get back into the car. So he does get back into the car. 8 minutes, he sits there. The police officer who pulled him over does not say why he was pulled over. Then finally, he approaches the car, tells him what's going on, goes back and radios one of his colleagues and refers to Roberts as a big black guy when describing the situation. So let's take a listen to this. This is really what's gotten the attention of the masses.
I haven't even begun the traffic stop. He got the big black man. He got out of the car, told him to get back in. He wouldn't comply. I had to yell at him pretty hard. She came out of the house. She will not go back in the house. She's refusing commands. He was refusing commands. Now he's complying. I don't want to conduct it.
And Wendon Roberts issued a statement as well Friday. Unfortunately, these type of things are happening all too often to African Americans. So that's the point.
So I guess the question would be, okay, here's the first two questions I would have, is where did the actual speeding take place? How far away from his house did he actually get clocked doing 59
and a 35?
Because you have to realize, so if he's doing 59 and he goes by and maybe he doesn't even see the police officer if he's, you know, speeding. So we all know that he probably was speeding. He wasn't pulled over. This isn't like a racial profiling pulling the guy over. You know, we can at least...
No, the pullover is legitimate. I mean, you got 59 and 35. You should get pulled over.
So the question I would ask is how far away from where the speeding infraction happened to his house? Because the thing about it is everybody's going to say, well, why'd he get out of his car? Because as he's pulling up into his house, he doesn't know. He sees cop lights. I mean, I would do the same thing. I would be like, uh-oh.
It's your house.
What's going on? Is something going on in my house? Is it, you know, did my wife call 911? This, that, and the other. So that would be the first thing I would want to know is that. And then the second thing I would ask is, who was this officer talking to when he referred to him as a big black
man? One of his colleagues over the radio.
The dispatcher, right?
Yeah.
Right. And so I would ask, why does he need to...
Well, that's... Wiggy, that's the whole thing.
Well, that's the question.
I mean, this is the whole thing. And maybe it wasn't malicious. Maybe it was just, you know, off the top of his head. But the problem is, it was off the top of his head.
Right.
Is that this is the whole ball of wax. Everything else, we can sort of understand why this sort of happened.
I don't understand, though, keeping him waiting 8 minutes in his car before telling him why he was pulled over. Way too long. I mean, that was ridiculous.
Sure, but the biggest takeaway, the reason why you, Alex, you would agree with this, why this is gaining steam, was because of that
the big black guy.
Well, sentence.
The reason why he left them in the car for 8 minutes is because as soon as the Landon Roberts gets out of the vehicle, his first initial reaction is, uh-oh, it's a big black man, right? And so clearly it seems like he might have been on the scene by himself. So he's probably intimidated because of the guy's size and the color of his skin, which is a problem right there. And I said this on Friday, the biggest issue, one of my good friends is a police officer in Lawrence. And we talk all the time about this. So, you know, the thing that is the hardest part, and I think this is the whole thing that Kaepernick was trying to get at, the hardest problem that black men deal with law enforcement is communication. And that's the biggest problem, is how a police officer communicates with a suspect that in a traffic stop in this situation, is what type of tone is he using? Because that's what it's all about, tone.
Right, and there's no doubt in my mind that if I were pulled over in my driveway, I mean, I'm not big, but they wouldn't say, oh, little short white guy is here. You know, they would just say, hey, I pulled over a kid in his car at 26.
My guess is that when he's trying to articulate to the dispatcher or whatever, is that he's trying to make it to justify or to sell what is going on. And if he says in his mind, I'm just guessing, but in his mind, if I say a big black guy,
like, oh, wow,
This takes it to the next level.
Serious situation, yeah. Right? No wonder why you're keeping him waiting for 8 minutes. No doubt about it. That was to send the message that this is worthy of what we're doing here. And yeah, I mean, I think, again, you go 59-35. Certainly you deserve to be pulled over.
Right.
I don't think anybody would argue with that. But the officer's conduct, I think, was totally wrong.
Well, that's why I said it's a lack
and racially tinged.
Well, it's a lack of communication and it's a lack of understanding and it's a lack of... Right. Of you as like, because what did they do next with this guy? They came out, they apologized and said he's now going through, you know, training and that kind of thing. But that's the problem, that sometimes these situations get to a point where we've seen them before where, innocent people are killed and you're not able, luckily for Landon Roberts in this situation, it didn't escalate.
No, and we'll play the sound on the other side too. So he gets fined for speeding and then gets also another citation for not having his car insurance on him. He says he has the insurance in the house. Mm-hmm. The officer would not let him go to the house to get the insurance. We'll play that sound coming up. But the point I want to make too, Wiggy, is, and Wilbon's talked about this well, getting pulled over in his own neighborhood, and this does not seem to be a driving while black situation, but Roberts lives in a really nice house, driving a Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if, you know, officer sees big black guy driving a Porsche pulling into a nice house. Was there some suspicion there? Is he like, I mean, is that really his car?
You said he was going 59 and a 35.
Right.
Is that right? I mean, he's going 59 and a 35.
Well, no, but I'm saying, but I wonder if the whole, like, if that's why, like, when Robert steps out and says this is his house.
It depends on the neighborhood. I don't know. This is in Texas. I know I lived in Atlanta.
It's in a suburb of Houston.
Yeah. In Texas, right?
Yeah.
So I lived in Atlanta for a number of years, and there are a lot of affluent black communities.
Oh, of course.
So I don't know what type of community setting this is. If it's one of them, you know, communities where this officer knows that, hey, the majority of people that live here are white, or the majority of people that live here are affluent black people. So I think you should know that, and you should have an understanding, and you should take that into consideration.
But I wonder if, for example, as a white guy in a Porsche, if when he steps out of his car, because he's at his house in his driveway, if the officer would have been as forceful,
get back into the car.
Or if it was a white, if a white guy's wife came out, would an officer have been a forceful, get back into the house, or you'll be arrested.
Like you said earlier when we were talking about Jerry Callahan, this is the world that we live in. So this is the world that we live in for black for being black men. I mean, we understand that when we get pulled over, it's not going to be the same way.
If I get pulled over with my Chevette in Hamilton, it's not going to be the same as, well, Wiggy, you know, Wiggy, you probably have been pulled over.
Right. And you know, fortunately for me, living in Massachusetts, if I get pulled over in Massachusetts, I try to abide by the law in every way, but if I do get pulled over, you know, once I do give my license and that kind of thing, you know, fortunately for me, because being a former patriot, it's a little bit easier.
Yeah, it's amazing how that switches. Wiggy automatically goes, you know, do you know who I am?
No, I don't say that, but you
remember the snowball game, by the way?
Yeah, I think you understand. But it's, I caught a pass in that final draft.
But it's always a little bit differently for me than it is for just a regular black guy who's didn't play for the Patriots, you know?
And, of course.
But if I'm in Atlanta and I get pulled over, they don't know who the hell I am, just like kind of in Landon Roberts' situation. He's in Texas. The guy doesn't know who the hell he is.
617-779-7937. I'll pick this up on the other side.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Right back to Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo here on WEI. We're talking about the Landon Roberts traffic stop. This happened in March.
Yeah, we just did some long snapping.
We did. Yes, I was in the restroom as that was happening.
Great stuff.
Who was the best long snapper?
Well, we only did one. We did John Anderson, the producer.
How was that, John? Have you lost anything? Or you
no,
still
it was
got
good.
I still got it. The ball's a little small, though. I think if I had a normal size ball.
Yeah, he had it was a good snap.
And I was impressed with Wiggy's ability to put the ball down once he got it.
Did you ever get into a game as the holder?
No.
This show is the best special teams show in the business,
that
right?
It is. It's special teams.
Can you punt, Alex?
No. What do you think?
Can you do anything?
Baseball.
What can be your role?
I can barely. The gunner, the guy on the outside.
His role would be right on the sidelines, just cheering where he should be.
Basically, I would have been a great cheerleader. Actually, I am in good shape. I mean, I do have a good core, so I could cheer.
What did you just?
Good core.
So that's like, what you're saying. You have a good core. Yeah. So we're trying to find your athletic achievement. We're trying to find.
I look like an athlete.
You're trying to find what is going to fit you best, and you say, "Well, I could be a cheerleader because I have a good core."
Yeah, that's athletic.
Okay,
cheerleading's very athletic. Those cheerleaders are in great
shape. I know that,
men and women.
I know, but it's weird that you identified. It's not weird that you identified that you could be a good cheerleader, but that you could do it because you have a good core.
Well, you have to have good core strength to lift people up to do all those.
It's weird how like you have a good core and nothing else. But
I have a good chest.
Your legs don't work.
I have great legs.
Well, they don't work. Yeah, but you couldn't be a male cheerleader. You're too small. Those guys
they are big.
Those guys, you would be like, unless you were like one of the ones that did backflips and stuff like that.
And I can't even execute a dive into a swimming pool.
Right,
so that tells you all you need to know.
You're too weak to have to hold up a girl with one hand.
Unless I start hitting the gym, you know, multiple times a day.
You're
start
going with mud. So how would you be a good cheerleader?
He wouldn't.
I feel like I would. I have the spirit.
The way that you read the trending now suggests that you have zero enthusiasm.
Zero spirit.
Zero spirit.
Okay, you know, you guys can finish the show then.
Why are you so sensitive about the trending now?
That's fine.
I want to know.
Because I had an emotional segment and I didn't really care about the trending in the 9 o'clock hour.
He said on the real KNC that if Jerry were to leave, he'd have no allies here. He'd be out.
Yeah, so Jerry said, my last plea to you, Alex, is do a morose trending
he,
now.
He loves trending now. I told Mutt, you're now my Monday through Friday champion. And Mutt said, well, you are royally screwed if that is the case.
I know that Monday, so we know what happens Monday. Mutt and Ken and Curtis. Yes. What's, are you guys on the rest of the week or what's going on?
They sent me an email. Could I do like Tuesday, Wednesday or something like that? So
you get an email yet, Alex?
Yeah. I have no idea. I've not been on an email, no.
You refuse to open email.
No, I no one's asked me to
Jerry
be on.
Jerry told you not to open.
No, no one's asked me to be on. I don't know. Maybe I'll be
you
on.
You will, Alex. But you have a great future ahead of you. Don't worry about it.
We have Landon Roberts. I did want to play the sound. We have some calls on it. Should we do it on the other side, John? I guess. We're already running late. Okay, so Landon Roberts, the last piece of this traffic stop is he did get into a little bit of a verbal, I don't want to say altercation, a verbal back and forth with the officer who did approach the car after 8 minutes. We'll do that next with your calls. Do you think the police acted inappropriately here? It's a Reamer Wiki Bradford, WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.